Hi, I'm Sharad Kutan, and welcome to Let's Talk, the show that brings you the most important conversations of the day. Today we're going to be talking about being a curator, the work of curators, and also the idea of collaboration. And to help me with that, I have two wonderful people. They are involved in a current exhibition. In fact, it opened just today at Ilham Gallery. It's called Domestic Bliss. It's the second edition of a project called Pollination. Now, the people in the studio with me today are Khatija Rahman, or Kat Rahman, as she's affectionately known, and also is Lei Tuan Yuen. She's a curator from Vietnam. So we'll get into what exactly the both of you do. I want to start with you, Yuen. If you could help us understand, you know, how you became a curator. Kat, I understand, is an artist curator, so that's a bit of a hybrid. You are a pure curator. So tell us, what does it mean to you to be a curator?
So yes, I'm a pure curator. I don't make art. I've been practicing as a curator for the past 5 years. I actually had a background that's different from fine art. I studied political science, and then I did a big jump into visual theories, and then finally contemporary visual arts. So I think the decisions of becoming a curator actually came about when I returned to Vietnam from my studies in the UK. So it's actually working with the artists initially to help them realize projects, you know, as a project manager, as a fundraiser, someone who helped out in the art scene. And then as I got more involved in the scene and learned more about the history of contemporary art in Vietnam, and felt really inspired by it and started to work in closer collaboration with artists, I realized that, oh, this is something that I could see myself doing for a really long time. Right. And it's also the artists who encouraged me to pursue this career path. And I was like, oh, maybe it's worth giving it a shot. And I've been doing it since.
Right. You know, and because, you know, actually having a political sense and having a deep knowledge of the contemporary world, you know, beyond the art world, is actually very important, it seems, in the work of curators today as they put shows together. Kat, tell us about your trajectory. Artist and curator, both at the same time, simultaneously. What came first?
Definitely art. And I kind of understood curators through art practice and vicariously through making art and getting critiques from curators. That's how I kind of intuit what curators are and what they do. And I guess I got a bit greedy, and I thought I just want to, you know, explore this other side of things and get the holistic view of the ecosystem. And so, yeah, this has been a good platform to experiment with that.
Okay, so talking about platforms, so this Pollination, as I mentioned earlier, is a program, and it's designed to bring artists, curators, and the community together, and not only to do it within a kind of national context, but to do it in a regional context, and the context being Southeast Asia. So, Yuen, could you help us understand this? I mean, do you know enough about the reasons for putting this together and what comes out of such collaborative work?
Right. So, Pollination was actually initiated by the Factory Contemporary Art Centres, where I'm currently working at the moment. And I think the primary aim is to establish a network of curators and artists who could potentially be working together on projects that it's not limited to just, you know, a small community or a local, very specific local context. And usually, I mean, there has been a lot of attention paid to nurturing these curators and artists' networks, but usually it's initiated by, you know, institutions who are outside of Southeast Asia. For example, the Japan Foundation, also Asia Center, started this curators program with very similar aim. Also, the curators lab initiated by the Goethe Institute from Germany, but it's, you know, outside looking in. And I mean, I'm sure as a participant of the previous Japan Foundation program, I do see there's a lot of kind of value in that. But I think this, with this platform, it seeks to look further into ourselves, you know, really trying to unpack who we are and what we need as a region, you know, not, you know, from an outside perspective, but, you know, because we have very unique landscapes, art landscapes. So, yeah.
Okay, I mean, but yeah, do you see yourself, Kat, I mean, as an artist, as a Southeast Asian artist? I mean, is there, does that resonate with you, this category, this regional, you know, kind of boundary, as it were, around the art making?
Well, I think it's something we've inherited from the West, this tendency to talk about, you know, art belonging in different countries. And we've not really had a lot of time to, or experience, working and thinking regionally. So pollination is a wonderful platform to do that. Because I think the tendency is for us to just work within our communities, get feedback from our communities, and pollination kind of pushes that. And the other thing is to note that a lot of things are still very nascent when it comes to contemporary art in Southeast Asia. So we want to catalyze, of course, the role of the curator, you know, with artists, but without any additional expectations from foreign funders, basically. Mm-hmm. And so this gives us a lot of freedom and a lot of impact, even though it is an annual project.
Yeah, what I do understand is, like, Singapore, and I think its art institutions, have the ambition, aspire to be kind of a regional hub, and they've organized biennales around this, getting curators from around the region and so on and so forth. But that's perhaps a story for another day. I do want to, I threw that in because I think it's very important to note that even within Southeast Asia, there are centers aspiring to that kind of command of the region, right? And sort of directing it. Yeah. But tell me about what exactly, and this for the benefit of our audience as well, is what exactly do you as curators do? You know, what exactly are you like a cheerleading team for the artists, and are you a life coach? Yeah. Are you directing them? What's happening?
I think our answer may be, you know, just as confusing as the term is.
Yeah,
I do. Sometimes we play a lot of, we wear a lot of hats. No,
we wear a lot of hats, and I think the definition we experiment and test every single day in our practice as curators, because it's nascent. It's also a contested term, I think, across the region, but often because it's also very nascent, we play many hats. So I think there is a bit of that life coach, whether we would say it out loud or formally. But I think the formal idea is that we are custodians of the artist's ideas. We manage their external ecosystem. And that can manifest in beyond administrative duties, like just essays and environmental spaces.
Yeah, basically a companion who walks a journey with the artist.
Yeah,
right.
That's
in a critical fashion, right? I mean, I'm imagining, like, in the analogy would be theatre and a dramaturg who is there to kind of stand outside the process and provide some sort of critical feedback. Is that happening?
Yes, I would add that with contemporary art, when you're the curator of contemporary art, I think you have to be very vigilant about what is contemporaneous, which is something very difficult and challenging and evolving. And so you would, the task commands that you're fluent in that, and that you can find that in your artists, or help bridge their art with that narrative. Yeah.
Right. So, do you ever get accused of, you know, trying to shape what the artist is doing, that taking command of their work and pushing it in directions that maybe they're not too comfortable with, or they're unfamiliar? That you're actually a co-creator in the work.
Well, as far as I know, I don't think I've ever had that problem yet. But I think this is something that, because I'm also one of the youngest curators in Vietnam, but also in this, you know, very kind of like new regional art landscape. Mm. And I'm quite aware of this whole curator-artist dynamic. And quite often I remind myself that it's good to be involved in the process of, you know, creating something, but at the same time, the most important thing is to respect the artist's ideas and opinions. Artists always make the last call, the final call, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're there to just give suggestions.
Okay, wonderful. We'll take a short break and we'll be right back with more on Let's Talk. Welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Khatija Rahmat and Lei Tuan Yuen. They're both curators of a new show at Ilham Gallery. That's down at Ilham Tower around Ampang Park. It's titled Domestic Bliss, and it's part of the Pollination series, a series that attempts to bring curators, artists, and the community together in some sort of dialogue and to do it that on a regional level. So this is their second outing, Pollination, second outing, Domestic Bliss. So let's talk about the artists. Kat, tell us, we have two artists. We have Izzat Arif from Malaysia, and we have Hoang Minh Duc, who is the Vietnamese counterpart, both male artists, I believe. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, so two boys there for you. How I know Izzat's work, so but I'm unfamiliar with Minh Duc's work. Kat, tell us, choosing the artists, what was the process like, and you know, so why them for this particular discussion of domestic bliss?
So I'll start by introducing Izzat. He's a largely a visual artist who's been practicing for about 10 years, and he does a lot of drawings, a lot of modular installations, often involving different alter egos. And I kind of was intrigued when he did his residency in Singapore, where, I mean, traditionally for many years...
At the NTU CCA,
yeah, the Nanyang Technological University. He was doing a lot of interesting work that was not parody, because for many years he was kind of just making fun of the local art scene and stuff like that. But in Singapore, I felt that he was touching on more in urgent questions, I think. So one of them was all these little hints of about, he was exploring questions about different ideas of Malayness between Malaysia and Singapore. And I thought that was very, very interesting, and I wanted to see where I could take him from there.
Right. So you chose the Malaysian artist. You got brought into the process, and it was your task to identify Malaysian artists to work with.
Yes.
Is that how it works? Okay. And Yuen, and so you then looked around Vietnam. Yes. And you found Minh Duc. So tell us about Minh.
Minh Duc, he has been practicing for a long while with a recent pause, actually. So he graduated from the Vietnamese University of Fine Art. And like anyone else who graduated from the school, he was trained largely as a painter. However, Duc's practice focuses primarily on performance art, which is, I would say, is a rather relatively rare medium to use for artists nowadays, for many reasons that I don't think that we have the time to go into today. But usually his works are durational, which means that they last for quite a long time, involving him using a lot of props, objects, you know, as props, referencing his local daily life or his upbringing. Mm. And usually it's quite quiet, melancholic, and very poetic, very quiet, yeah.
Okay. We recently had in town, because the famous performance artist whose work, durational work, Taishin Che, yes, and there he talked about time actually being his medium, right? Not fabric, not materials, not paints, but time as his material. So you've made those choices, and when you had you already decided on the idea of domestic bliss as an exhibition theme before you chose the artist, or was that did that come as a result of choosing those artists?
I should just mention that domestic bliss is a little unique in the sense that both curators approached artists without existing projects. Mm. So we really began the pollination program really from nothing, from the very germ of an idea. And so it was mysterious to us for a while what the outcome would be, and it was only later on that we go, okay, these are some parallels and interesting connections that we can make for the show.
Right. So you both chosen to be curators. You both then choose artists. And what literally happens? I mean, are you then all brought together to have a discussion? Do you exchange the portfolios of your designated artists and say, oh, well, you know, what can we find? And are you looking for connections? Are you looking for contrast? What are you looking for, Yuen?
So I think, again, maybe this brings back to why Pollination was started. I mean, it also plays a lot of focus on the role of curators and exploring different methodologies. Curating in Vietnam or in Southeast Asia actually involves And so Kat and I, from the beginning, we, like she just shared, you know, we started from nothing, from just our interests. Mm. And then we went on and we approached different artists in the beginning, actually, and then share, okay, so here we are, and these are what we are interested in. Would you like to work with us? And then so somehow we ended up, you know, finding our partners in crimes in a very organic way.
Yeah.
And also the exhibitions, you know, the title and the theme also developed that, you know, organically,
yes.
You know.
Right. And so what exactly for you does domestic bliss mean? I know you are in a state of domestic bliss, so I presume. I've met
yes.
your husband, so I know. You know, but tell us about that. I mean, when did the shoe drop for the idea of domestic bliss?
Okay, for the shoe to drop, I'll have to bring up the other shoe, like on how they kind of like harmonized. But basically, they were very different, actually, alarmingly different at first.
Yes.
Because the artists were.
Yeah, they're very, very different. And so, and of course, Uyen was in Vietnam. We had the bonding session, but after that, we were kind of off to our own journeys, and it was a little bit mysterious. And we would update each other, I think, regularly on what would happen. And then we had this conversation where Duke was exploring a lot of his journey
right.
as a migrant
yeah.
in Australia. And then we had Izzat kind of going off to exploring like the narratives about Malaysia. And then we realized that both of them were really tackling with this issue of what made belonging in very distinct Vietnamese ways and Malaysian ways. And we wanted to hold true to that. We didn't want work to sort of compromise for the show, and I think
yeah.
it tied together really
well. And
also
we yeah. talked briefly about how, you know, Duke, even though he left Vietnam 7 years ago, but somehow he never really left Vietnam, you know?
Yes.
His mentality is still there. That's where he considered to be more endearing to him and
yes.
feel more comfortable. And in a way, Izzat, you know, he's been around a little bit, but also he's very much kind of set in stones in
yeah.
in his yes. environment, so.
Okay. So belonging and the theme. We'll take another short break. I'll be back with more. Stay tuned to Let's Talk. Welcome back to Let's Talk. We're into the last segment and a discussion about an exhibition going on at Ilham Gallery. That's at the Ilham Tower down at Jalan Binjai. If you take the LRT, you get off at Ampang Park. Now, this is part of an ongoing project called Pollination that brings together artists, curators, and communities in dialogue, and not just on a national level, but a regional level. Now, Kat Rahmat and Tuan Nguyen, they're both here as curators, and we've been talking about the theme. So we talked about domestic bliss just now, and you said we ended on this idea that, you know, that the core of it is the sense of belonging. Now, for those who've never been to an art gallery and maybe slightly intimidated by it, you know, because it's also pristine and everybody's so quiet and composed and nobody's running around like a madman. What exactly, Kat, can you tell us, you know Malaysian audiences when they come, well, what is it that they should expect when they come into a space like Ilham to see this particular exhibition? What exactly will they encounter?
Well, I'd like to tell Malaysians who are unfamiliar with art that there's no real wrong or right way to think about the work that they're about to encounter.
Well, you cannot scribble stuff and touch
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
like
yeah. No touching.
Touch
yeah.
Touching.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Touching bed, yes. and there will be little demarcations to let you know what you can and you can't touch. Some artists like touching, but
yeah.
most of the time they don't. So that's the first thing. And then they're going to experience something I don't think a lot of Malaysians really know a lot about Vietnam in the immersive way that I think Duke can bring. So they'll be prepared to be touched, I think, because a lot of Duke's gestures and his over, really.
The atmosphere.
Yeah, and the atmosphere in the room is minimalist, yet very full of pathos. And I think people will be surprised by that, that art can be very simple and powerful. It doesn't have to be grand or, you know, spectacular.
Okay, but so when you walk in and you help us there, what are we seeing? Is it an installation? Is it paintings? Is it objects? You know, what exactly is happening in the gallery space?
So I think the exhibition has one entrance, and then you go through a certain order, and then you exit on the outside. And I think you will encounter Duke's work first, which, like Hat said, is quite intimate, and it involves a lot of objects that he made or he found and saw specifically for his performance. And then there's video documentations of his performances in the space, so the audience can see the objects, feel like the presence of it, and also the presence of the artist, you know, once was there, and then also see the process behind it. And then you go to the next room and you will encounter video work, which will be even more casual, and I guess, you know, it's less intimidating. And then follow on to see Izzat's beautiful drawing and series of drawing and dioramas.
Oh, dioramas. Okay, so dioramas is something that at least my generation would know. We go into the National Museum, yeah, and you saw these things, and they were natural history dioramas, yes. And they were, you know, like little puppets, and not puppets, what do you call them? Little statuary,
yeah,
that, you know,
miniatures
that, you know, describe a scene, a battle scene, or something like that, right? Or a tin mine diorama. I love the tin mine dioramas.
Yeah.
Okay, so does Izzat's work and Dirk's work, do they do anything collaboratively? Are they separate? Do they speak to each other? And how does somebody even read that? They might be able to read Izzat's work only because, as a Malaysian, read it better because they know the context. Mm-hmm. But how would they read work from Dirk's work? Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll start by saying that once you go through this, it's very literally domestic space, because there's these curtains and there's these chairs that Dirk has chosen. It's because the space is like a little U. So once you've gone through the first leg of the U, you enter the video, and after the video, you'll see signature modular works, so his dioramas. And they, like most of the program, it is very separate, it is very, very different. But we've been lucky in the sense that our collective aesthetic is very minimal.
Yeah.
So a natural harmony did take place.
Yeah.
So I think even though there was this complexity, I think it was packaged together very well, like an onion.
And
like an onion,
which
you then peel layer by layer.
But I also think that, you know, it's still the two artists are working on the same theme, but one looks to the larger narratives and one looks more inwards.
Yes.
So in a way it's different, but it ties back into that same root, you know, that same beginning. So I guess somehow, and also I think it's not, even though it's small and it's quiet, but I don't think it's that intimidating of an exhibition, because it's got visual elements that makes you feel like you're inside somebody's home, you know, with the bamboo curtains, the bamboo ladder, you know, the objects that are involved there. Something that you've seen, something that you can find in your home. So it's not like, oh, you know.
I would just mention that we have one more thing that I don't think a lot of exhibitions do, where we share the curatorial process.
Yes.
At the end of after everyone's experienced the artwork, they come into a little hall where you can see our respective journeys with our artists. And this is part of our goal, to make the role of the curator less mysterious and more approachable, and hopefully inspire the younger curators to explore.
So the exhibition opened today, the 16th of November, goes on to the 19th of January. Will you be there every day to present your curatorial journey, or is this something that happens every so often?
We plan to do a couple of curatorial tours, but it is quite a self-explanatory exhibition that you can enjoy at your own pace and at your own time.
And we do have a catalogue.
We do, we have public programs.
I mean, which has all the information, it's probably more than we can tell anyone.
Yes, and essays and such.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it, because I think a lot of Malaysians have taken up the idea of the domestic, immediately the images of Simran Gill's photographs of Malaysian homes. And I remember people just intrigued, because we're all kind of like gossipy, want to know what other people have in their homes. You know, we're kind of curious that way.
Yeah, too.
But maybe this is going to be a different take on that, and I kind of suspect it will be, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
And I think that's the exciting thing. right?
I hope so, yeah.
Thank you so much to both of you for being on the show and helping us understand what's up. Something for you to catch, remember, it opened today, the 16th of November, goes on to the 19th of January. Will it go to Vietnam after this?
We're hoping. We're trying our best.
Okay, so if you didn't you don't catch it here, maybe you'll catch it in Hanoi. I've been speaking to Khatija Rahmat as well as Lei Thuan Nguyen. They're both curators with the Domestic Bliss exhibition at Ilham Gallery, part of the Pollination Program. And that's a regional collaborative program. This is all we have for Let's Talk today. I'm Sharad Kutan, only for Astro Awani.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah.